It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And we welcome back Joel Gratz with Christensen PLLP in Wilmer. And Joel, I know you expanded the office as well. And it's great to see any time a business is growing in our area. We're very happy to see that. So welcome back again for another Ask the Expert.
Yes, thanks for asking me back, Bill. You said what, expansion? Yeah, I think you're referring to our Painesville office,
right.
Which is being kind of manned up by Chelsea Mueller, a local gal up there, and she does a great job. And it's been going a lot better than we thought. So thank you to all of the Painesville patrons up there who are giving us a chance, and appreciate that very much.
Well, and today we're going to talk, I think, a topic that's on a lot of people's minds. I know we're awful busy. At least I've been so busy to even really think about the taxes. But it won't be long, another month or so, and we're going to have to get those as an individual filer for most W-2 or wage earners. We need to get those in, what is it, April 17th? Or what is the date this year?
You know what? I haven't looked that far ahead, but I actually want to
maybe
say...
Maybe it's the 15th, huh?
It's not the 15th. It's actually April 18th.
18th, okay.
Because the Emancipation Holiday in D.C. is on the 17th, so it cannot fall on a government holiday. So
right.
We actually got to the 18th, which... Now that you let the cat out of the bag, Bill, I guess everybody's going to take a few more days this year to get their taxes done.
I wouldn't do that because you guys get busy enough, I'm sure, and probably have been busy. But
if
people can schedule those appointments, I'm guessing it'll be beneficial to them and for the tax preparers.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hope everybody doesn't take those extra days to think they can wait to the last second. And I was joking with you, Bill, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's April 18th, and we have been busy right now. Corporate deadline for business entities that are structured as an S corporation or as a partnership, they're actually due this year on March 15th. In previous years, partnerships were due on April 15th.
Uh-huh.
And in the wisdom of the IRS, they determined that we should have all business entities that flow through to the individual, which obviously S-Corps and partnerships do, to be due on March 15th. So it's been kind of a double whammy where you're trying to figure out how to get all these done. And we can do extensions real easy on entities. There's no flag to do that. And in theory, it'll make us more prepared for the April 15th deadline, or in this case, April 18th deadline for our individuals.
I see. So in the modern world now, where everything is digital and interconnected on the internet, extensions and things like that, is that a lot easier to before you used to have to fill out a specific form and make sure that got mailed in time and that type of thing?
Yeah, it's pretty seamless. We do everything electronically, like you said, and we e-file the extension. We go through the list, and it's basically a few clicks, and it's sent off, and it's all good. So it's a formality in a way, but you need to do it. And we go through our lists and make sure that we get everybody extended, and not only for federal but Minnesota as well. So we got most of our extensions kind of done. We have a few more we're going to wrap up here in the next few days. But today I wanted to talk individual,
right.
Just because we're kind of heated that as well. It's all happening right now.
Yeah. So. As far as individuals, then, when can you still get an extension? But do you have to pay if you anticipate owing tax? You still have to make sure that check is postmarked no later than the 18th?
Yeah, so that's a great point. You can extend the filing, but you cannot extend the payment. If you think you owe and you make a good faith estimate, you need to write that check on this year, April 18th. Otherwise, you'll have some interest and penalties related to the underpayment if you don't pay that, quote, on time. So that's definitely something you have to keep in mind. A lot of people think you can extend the payment, and you're absolutely right, Bill. You cannot do that.
Okay. So what about the receipts and things like that? People, that's to me, I know you can be really organized, and I'm sure with, like you say, everything, kind of being digital nowadays, maybe people do a lot of that, on the computer too. They organize all their expenses and things like that way.
Well, that's a great question. I'd like to say everybody's organized, and we all know just people aren't in general always organized. When it comes to my business returns, I think there is a focus to do everything electronic because you have a lot of activity, transactions, a lot of reporting has to be done. So you kind of have to have your ducks in a row for that stuff. When it comes to individual items, I'll be honest, that group is probably the least organized because, one, you focus all your energy on your business, for one. Two, all these deductions and receipts you mentioned, income, it's always this weird stuff you get in the mail. And I say weird meaning you get your 1099 DIV forms for your dividends and you get these investment statements that are 20 pages long, and they've got covered securities, uncovered securities, long-term, short-term, capital gain, wash sales. I mean, they are a very confusing, informative, but confusing, you know, document. And a lot of people look at that and they just gloss over.
Right.
And if you're doing your own preparation out there, I'm assuming you get very nervous when you see these forms. Am I really putting it in the right spot? And qualified dividends, not qualified dividends, Bill, the rules when it comes to on the personal tax aren't quite as clear or, what should I say, common sense as it might be, whereas a business would be. So a lot of my clients, unfortunately, aren't maybe quite as prepared on the individual side. And again, I'm not criticizing. It's one of those things that might be an afterthought. And if I could be honest, taxation, when it comes to us personally, meaning what I have to pay and my Social Security number and all my stuff, makes us all very nervous. I think that's one of the most, I can't tell you, if I got 10 clients in a day, 9 out of 10 say, I hate this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I hate trying to make sure I get all this stuff pulled together. It's a pain in my, you know what? Mm-hmm. And which, of course, makes me feel bad because it's the one time they get to visit me and I feel like I'm putting the pain on them. It's not my fault we have all this stuff out there to do. So today, you know, I just really wanted to go through a few tips to maybe help that process and not make it such a hill climbing, you know, nervous, you know, event. We just want to make sure we get our stuff done and do it right, you know.
All right.
But to answer your question, that was a long answer. I'm sorry about the receipts.
Yes.
I think a lot of people assume that they need to bring me as their CPA every single receipt to prove it to me that I actually got this deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Bill, you know, I'm working for you, and I'm going to ask the questions, but I don't know if I need to see every receipt. I'll ask you, and I'll tell you which ones we might need to see, which are very few. I'm not the auditor. You know, I always suggest to my clients, you keep it in your file. Keep it in a 2016 tax file. If it's a shoebox, if it's an envelope, if it's a folder, make sure it's all there so that we're not, if in 2 years from now, if you do get audited, you aren't scratching your head and saying, I got no idea what I did 2 years ago. If we have it all in the file, you can say with certainty, Joel, this is where I got my contribution number from for my donations. Here's my total. Here's my receipts. That's what I really want my clients to do. I don't need to see every receipt. I don't put my green visor on and go to the back office and look at every item and say, oh, Bill, you missed a $10 deal or you went $10 long on this. That's not my job. And I think the interview experience, when you come in and sit down with me or any other professionals at Christensen, I'm not here to green visor you. I'm not here to analyze and scrutinize your expenses. I am there to talk to you and have a conversation about what happened in 2016. Is there anything new or different? Is there anything that you remember that is going to be a brand new event that we have to make sure we do it right? And my job is to ask the right questions and or glean the right information so I do the absolute best for my client. It's a two-way street, Bill. It can't be a one-sided conversation either way. I can't just listen and ask no questions, and nor can my client just walk in and expect I'm going to, by osmosis, understand what happened to them during the last 365 days of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. So that's it kind of explains it a lot, just, you know, why it's important to, you know, to just try to review. Because, I mean, the year, we think it went by fast, but then you start looking back. Well, that was this year, you know, that was back in January or February. And suddenly, you know, you don't even really remember it, you know, that and might have been a major expenditure or something like that you didn't count on or whatever, and it might be eligible for a deduction.
So, a classic example is where they'll say, I think I refinanced my home loan this year. And I'm always like, how can you think? You kind of have to tell me, and yeah. I kind of have to know the dates. We kind of have a motto in our office, you know, we're accountants and tax consultants, not magicians or mind readers, you know, and I should have that up on the whiteboard every day. And I use that tongue in cheek, but it's a classic event of, in my mind, back to the tips, whenever you think you have a taxable event, or I think Joel's going to need this, it seems important to me. I always say, when in doubt, you capture that and you start an envelope, you start a folder, and you literally stuff that document or that event or make a note or do something into that file so that when you get to your tax meeting and you're preparing, hopefully not the night before, but when you're preparing for it, right. You can remember all those things, like you said, Bill, that, it, you know what, I did refinance in February of 2016, which seems like an eternity ago, mm-hmm. And these are the things I have, and I got to remember to bring the closing statement with for Joel, because there are certain things on that form I know he said that I need to, and I can deduct, and I, you know, back to being prepared is probably the number one tip to make that experience. And we call it an experience at Christensen. When you sit down with us, it's not about an assembly line. It's not about you watching me plunk away numbers mm-hmm. and sit there in trepidation and have me audit you and analyze every expense. It's about having that experience, that conversation where we sit down. I get to know you, because if I don't get to know you, I will not do my very best for you. Mm-hmm. And I do have clients after years of learning each other's, you know, the questions I ask and the different things. I do have people who drop off. But those are the people who actually, when they take my organizer, they'll actually write down notes in it so I can follow it and read through it. It's really difficult where someone drops off this, and when I reference an organizer, I don't know if you understand what that means, Bill, but it's a form that we send out to all of our 1040 clients that's got all the information on it that they've done in the past, meaning their W-2s in the past, and it's got a column for prior year income, okay, mm-hmm. and in expenses. So you can go through that, and that document is meant to spark a conversation and go, I did refinance, back to my example, or, wow, that's how much dividends I had last year, and oh, I guess I did have an Edward Jones statement. I should probably grab that this year. It helps you be prepared. And I want the listeners today, if you go to me or my firm or somebody else and they have that document, it may seem like a lot of work to go through there and take all the data and write it down in there. But I tell you what, it's meant to be the tool for communication. I always start by looking at that document, and the first four pages is about 35 questions, Bill, uh-huh. that's designed for the trigger of the event to go, yeah, I did have that this year, or I just had a new baby and mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's a deduction. What do I need? And it says, bring in your Social Security card, bring in, you know, the date of birth. And those are the things that a lot of people just, they don't take the time to go through that list. And it ends up being a back and forth where I'm like, well, we need this, that, and the other thing. Here's right. a list, go work on it. And people wonder why it takes 7 to 10 days to get a tax return in and out. Well, it's because we're doing all this back and forth. And sure. so the more prepared you can be, you know, the better. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's easier said than done, but it's something that takes practice, you know.
What about, you know, so many people, you know, they download the TurboTax or whatever it might be then and try to do it themselves. And are they successful in many cases, or does that vary from individual to individual?
It really varies. And I've never walked through the TurboTax process, I'll be honest, for obvious reasons, but it's meant to ask you those questions as you go. But there might be questions that, based upon certain criteria you enter, may not get asked in the software that maybe should have, because you didn't put the right information in. So it's meant to be a two-sided tool, and it can work well for people who are organized and who don't get worried about when they get asked questions, you know, like, did you have a kid this year? Or what? That's an easy one. But, I mean, there's things that get asked that you may not know. Mm-hmm. If I was to throw out a probability of what I'd find to be an accurate return filed by someone doing it on their own who's got no tax experience, I would say maybe 4 out of 10 are right.
Okay.
And again, that's not saying the person is, you know, not doing their due diligence, but there's so many things, Bill, in tax that may not add up to a big number, but over years it will add up to value in tax savings that if you had come in, will more than pay for the fee that I'll charge you. And I do the electronic filing. I make sure things match up. I make sure there's no you know, letter, IRS letter stuff where there is a mismatch. I make sure I take care of all that, where if you do it yourself, you're not going to know that, and you possibly, you just can't. I wouldn't expect anybody who does it on their own to know all these things. So again, you know, 4 out of 10 times it's probably right. The other times we're probably missing something that would be an opportunity for a deduction or a mismatch on income. They might get a letter that says, where's the income? And they might have entered a different spot, but they didn't know where to put it. So, right. I mean, there's so many things that I'm not knocking TurboTax. It's a nice tool to do it for something that's very straightforward, you know. But even like college kids, like my son, you know, he's got a little W-2 income, but he's going to college. We have education credits that he can get where if he wasn't paying attention, he'd miss out on $1,000 at a minimum. And for a college kid, that's big money. So, again, back to the, I'm not here to just sell the firm, but we bring so much more to the experience than just compliance and filing the return and using a TurboTax. We bring experience, thoughts, guidance, the experience of sitting down and talking to a professional. And again, my model, when they sit down in my office, I got the computer on, but I'm not looking at the computer. I focus on my client. I talk to him about the questions, go through the organizer, see what happened, what events. And usually they'll have questions for me. And we always focus on that first before we get any of the hard numbers. And usually I tell my client, I take that time later to go punch the numbers in. And if I have a question, I'll get a hold of you. My time here with you is well spent by just sitting down, asking the questions, and making sure we have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted before you leave.
Very good. What percentage roughly on these individual filers do you think go with the standard deduction when it's all said and done, where that ends up being the best for them?
I would say it's the majority that go with the standard deduction. I would guess, you know, that's probably in that two-thirds, probably standard deduct. But there's things on the Minnesota return that even though you have a standard deduction, you may get an extra deduction because, as an example, contributions. If you donate money to the church, community foundation, whatever, greater than $500, even though you don't itemize, you get that deduction on your Minnesota. Okay. So it's just one thing that I don't think TurboTax is going to ask you that question. If you're a Minnesota resident, do you have more than $500? You know, I don't think they ask that question. So I always ask my clients, get in the habit of always compiling those expenses, even though you may not in one given year have enough to become an itemizer. That event may come through, and then if you're in the habit, it's just a natural thing, and I've always got that data to look at to make sure I'm grabbing every deduction for you.
Now, it seemed to me it's been a while you know, since I've done my own, but is there still the child care credit and things like that that you know are usually quite substantial if you got multiple children?
Yes, and you got to tie that, and that's the dependent care credit.
That's what I meant.
And you can flex that on your paycheck, on your W-2, if your company has a 125 plan, which most do. And that's often where the disconnect, if you're doing it on TurboTax, you forget you got a box 10 on your W-2 that says I flex $5,000 of benefits, but I got my daycare credit over here. It's supposed to offset. You can't take it twice. You know, you can't get the benefit twice. And I can't tell you how many people have forgotten to link that and to make sure that they're entering it in the right spot on the form for W-2 and making sure that links up with the form 2441, which is the you know the daycare credit, dependent care credit. So yeah, there's so many nuances that if you don't really know, I guarantee you're leaving some money on the table somewhere, or you're going to get a letter somewhere that's going to cause you angst. And I tell you what, doing your taxes is a stressful thing. Imagine getting a letter in the mail that says, "Hey, what happened here?" And this is IRS knocking. It scares the bejeebers out of people, I'll be honest with you. So if you come with me, there might be letters, but at least I'm going to be the one there to be backing you up the whole time on it. And you just got that comfort level so you can sleep at night and stuff. And I'm not here to sell you, Bill. I know you do your own and you're pretty.
No, I don't do my own, but I used to do them. And if I got the letter, it was usually that I had overpaid, believe it or not.
Okay.
And that was always not a bad letter then when they'd say it. And plus they'd include whatever percent interest.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't usually big amounts of money, but a few $100 would be nice to suddenly get. You know, I always would try to be fairly close to where I didn't know them much, and they didn't know me much when it was all said and done.
Perfect.
I always figured I'm going to pay on a regular basis. Every 2 weeks, they're going to get their money, and whether it's the state or the feds, and that's.
Yep.
But I have been getting it prepared, but I should probably change and have you do my taxes.
Oh, no, that's not at all. I'm sorry, Bill. I always assume that you did your own, and that's cool, and I'm very willing to help you out. But, no, as long as you're going somewhere and you're getting that.
Well, and I have no idea. You know, I know it's somebody I know, but I had no idea if, you know, it's just easier, the electronic filing. I wasn't able to do that on my own. And so that's nice. And then they do kind of keep the records from year to year, which you pointed out is really, I think, a nice thing to look back on, you know, in previous years to know, kind of remind you of things.
And, and we scan a copy, too, of all of your W-2s, 1099s, just in case you were to lose your record or something happened. So we do have a copy of most of the what we call heavy stuff, the stuff that probably matters the most. But we may not have all the receipts, though. We don't keep copies of all the receipts. I don't even recommend bringing in the receipts,
right.
Like I said earlier. So, no, I mean, it's a service that we have. It's comfort, you know, peace of mind, sleep at night kind of stuff. And
well,
just be prepared, I guess, is what I'm really stressing today.
Right. Well, Joel, if people have questions, maybe a phone call to just find out, you know, a little bit more information and then, you know, gather up what they need to do and get set to fill out the questionnaire. And, you know, I think it sounds to me like it's almost like going to the doctor. And oftentimes they don't have enough time either to sit down and just, because they can learn a lot about your condition just by talking to you oftentimes. And and at least that's what doctors tell me. They wish they had more time for that, to sit and actually visit with the patient rather than having to fill in a bunch of forms for the government. So it's a little bit of a similarity between, you know, this and that, I think, in some regards.
Well, hopefully no one thinks that it's like going to the doctor if you come and see me. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more social when you come to me. But in any case,
but getting
I
that,
hear you.
Getting that clean bill of health, though, is kind of a nice feeling when you go out of the office.
So, no, I think so. And that's what we try to do and just do our very best for our clients. Absolutely.
And so how do we reach Christensen PLLP?
Give us a call here at our Wilmer office, 235-5937. You can go online at ChristensenCPA.com, and you can see all our offices and the numbers and the various professionals who work there and can link up and communicate with us that way.
And are most of the appointments then kind of between 8 and 5, or are there other times available too? Or
that's the majority. You know, we try to keep it inside that so we can get caught up after that. But we do, you know, for special opportunities, you know, if someone just can't get out until 5 o'clock, we have after times and Saturdays as well.
All right. Well, great to see you, Joel.
Thanks, Bill.
And bring back the spring, if you would.
All right.
Okay.